Good morning. We're calling to order the Wednesday, June 24th, 2015 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Ater Taylor at the controls, and also here with Gino, who's going to be backing up when or if Eva ever goes on vacation. I'd like to begin with a few items. First, the order of presentation. The applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the 5 findings necessary to justify granting of a variance have been met. At this time, the applicant should also submit their declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak, and the applicant and or owner will be allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal if there's any public testimony in opposition to the project. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement or may make a decision today. I may also continue the item to a future date. Items on the consent calendar, and there are two right now, are matters that are generally considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step forward. Otherwise, the items would be granted. There's a general public comment at the end of the agenda for items that are not on the agenda today, and the people will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak on that. Now, criteria for justifying a variance under Planning Code Section 305C, it states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following 5 findings. Finding number 1, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number 2, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or a necessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number 3, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number 4, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number 5, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete and have issued after the date of this hearing. That is important because it's the decision letter itself which carries with it any appeal rights. And so the decision, written decision, can be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the issuance date of that letter. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to meet and to discuss projects, we would ask that that be done outside of the hearing as to avoid distracting others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for July 22nd, 2015. Audio recordings of variance hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website. And now we can move on to the consent item. There are two, but we're going to take actually one of the items off of the consent calendar, and we'll have it as the first on the regular calendar. That'll be item number 1 for 801 Silver. It'll be coming off the consent calendar, but item number 2 would otherwise be on this consent calendar.
The only item on our consent calendar is item number 2, case number 2015-002645VAR, 1350 48th Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
Is there any public comment on this item, on item number 2 for 1350 48th Avenue? If there's no public comment, then this item would be granted. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing and be inclined to grant the requested variance. Now we can move on to the regular calendar.
Item number 1, case number 2014.0866V, 801 Silver Avenue, rear yard variance sought. It's the project. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, this is the Ahmad Larizo, the project sponsor. This affidavit and pictures. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. We had a pre-app meeting with a neighbor. One neighbor, she is handicapped, and we explained to her for 2 hours what our intent was to build that staircase. And since she's her backyard right, 12 and a half feet from the fence, the building is located in that after 12 feet. And also, she's handicapped, and we told her to put the elevator for her use if she wanted to come over there and she mentioned that she never goes there. Regardless of that, this is for ADA accessibility. AB 017 required every construction beyond 140,000 has to be fully comply. And this is a part of the deal we are doing. And we have already contacted the ADA accessibility and are willing to write a letter to you or whoever needs to be taking care of this project. So we said we are already filed a paper. We would like to go through this process, just do the process to get this thing resolved. And I would like to introduce a structural engineer who's working on a project, and he can explain to you what's the reason he's doing this. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Bruce Badani. The building is an unreinforced brick masonry building, which was last 7 years was vacant because of the seismic retrofitting of the UMB. The entire building is a gymnasium for Cornerstone Evangelical Baptist Church. This is not the main building, the building behind the main buildings on the entire block. Part of the seismic retrofittings, which already has been done and signed off by the city, is completions of the accessibility. So in order to do that, because the gymnasium floor is the entire building, there is no way we can put an elevator inside the court. So the elevators at the adjacent to the building, attached to the buildings, which with the stair, open stairs, and we had to go for the past 2 years through the historic committee. After several revisions and changings, they already approved, historical committee approved it after 2 years. Then we went back to the plans. So we already signed off the building for the seismic retrofit. Still cannot, the school cannot use the building till the accessibility completed, because the school considers the commercial buildings. Since the project is more than $140,000, that's what the full accessibility is required. We are doing underneath of the building, underneath of the gymnasium, we are doing the full accessibility for the bathrooms of the boys and girls, but the elevator, it's happening on the outside. The building is on the slope. One side, it's one story. The back side is three story. The car has to come to the three story portion, get the elevator with the open bridge, get to the other side of the building. The elevator right now is 12 feet away from the back property yard of the school, but it is in the side of the school. It's, I don't know, you have these ones, but this is the entire plans of the building, the school, the gymnasium, and this is the elevator. And the open stairs. This is the elevator sections, and this is the open stairs to get to that. So we are going to put 4 accessible wheelchair area inside the gym at the bleacher rooms, so people can watch the games.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. So I think the neighbor, who I believe is not here today, but we'll see if there's any public comment. I think she was unable to make it today, had some concerns. She's located to the north. As you noted, it's a steeply downsloping lot. So the lots where the neighbor is located is much lower, and also to the north. And they had some concerns about light, air, and also noise. The stairs, I'm assuming, are all steel construction. And how is it intended to be used? I mean, this is intended to be mainly the emergency access, and it wouldn't be used regularly for access to the gymnasium?
Most of the people coming from the school through the one story straight in the lobby. We have a lobby which is shows in plans, which I would like to...
It's on that one-story elevation.
On the one-story part. This is the lobby. This is the lobby. Mm-hmm. We have a bridge, and this is on the other three-story.
So most access will be through that.
Right.
So accessibility is all the people going through here.
Okay.
The only thing is we need this elevator. Otherwise, they have to come through elevator through this open bridge at the side of to get to the lobby because the bleacher area is that in this section.
And do you know kind of what the programmed use of the gym, like how often it would be used for, how often it would be about?
Besides the school, which they right now last 7 years.
Sorry, sir, if you could just not leave the door alone and someone could at least stand. This one's probably sitting on the button. So if you're checking the wall there, make sure you're not leaning against the button. That will cause the door to open. If it does open, just let it close. Otherwise, forcing it closed will break in the door. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the thing is, this at the moment, last 7 years, they cannot use the gym because of the UMB programs. They have to comply. After that, a portion will be for use of the school children itself, and a portion maybe in the afternoon. I don't know how the program the school
okay.
going to be. Maybe some public can use it or not.
Okay. Anybody said the seismic work has already been completed.
This seismic is completed. It's
item.
Signed off. Pending accessibility for certificate of compliance.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment. Any public comment on this item or on item number one for 801 Silver Avenue? Seeing no public comment, to close the public hearing. Appreciate the project sponsor answering those questions, is giving a little bit more information to respond to the concerns that were raised by the neighbor. It seems that there is no other suitable alternative location that would have less impact on the neighboring properties, and this does provide accessibility. So, there's something to
add. I just wanted to interject one thing that.
Excuse me, sir.
Use the mic.
This is the third time we had to relocate the elevator because of the historic committee. They change everything. Before was to be even the stair enclosed. Right now is open stairs because it's a historic building.
Yeah. Okay. I understand.
Thanks.
So again, with that, public hearing is closed. Be inclined to grant the requested variance. I think you've already found the most suitable location for the stair and for the elevator. It is within the required rear yard, but there's no other alternative location that would avoid the need for a variance that would provide access here to the appropriate portions of the building. So inclined to grant the variance, and we can move on to
item number three, case number 2014-1323V, 326 Prospect Avenue, rear yard and off-site parking variances sought.
I have the affidavit of posting. Good morning. I'm Phoebe Bresek. I'm the architect for this project. We had our required neighborhood meetings, and we posted notices per code. This is, to repeat myself from what I wrote in the variance application, we have exceptional circumstances in this lot because it is a corner lot, because it has a change in elevation from front to back, because it is, part of it is quite old, from 1908, we think, and part of it is a rather unfortunate addition in the late 60s, probably done without full permitting. So the exceptional circumstances were different than the other lots, though there are some in Vernal Heights that are like that. The literal enforcement of this code would be a hardship for the clients because there is in this unfortunate addition space that they're using as living space, and a full enforcement of the code would reduce their usable living space by a significant percentage. The project here maintains the same footprint. The variance is for parking and for change in height. But their rear yard is now as non-compliant as it would be in the granting of this variance. The preservation is important to the substantial enjoyment because they would like to have a little more space. It's a tiny little house, and the back has substandard head room on two levels. It's not detrimental to the neighborhood or to the city in general. In fact, we see this as an enhancement. Because the front of the property has some historic charm, the back has none whatsoever. The purpose of this was to improve and support the Bernal Heights architectural character by removing this unfortunate addition in the back. It is in harmony with the planning code and general plan because it is still a single-family residence and will remain so. And it doesn't do anything in detriment except to make it better visually for everybody in the neighborhood. If you have questions.
Thank you. So it is a corner lot, but Kingston Street is not developed here. Is that correct? And there's no
Kingston Street is an alley with an island in the middle. The alley services parking access for people on Kingston.
Okay.
At the end of Kingston, it drops through a staircase down to the lower level because there's a huge drop in the land.
Okay.
And there's no parking on it whatsoever.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. So we're on public comment for 326 Prospect.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Christine Alkohim, and I live at 227 Kingston, which is across street. And this addition will not only take away the light in my sunlight from my house, but also it's going to block us in if they when they do the. In fact, I have pictures here of what it looks like. And there's six no parking at any time signs there because a neighbor next door at 225 had a kitchen fire and the firemen couldn't get in. And that's why there's signs there that no parking. And we're always having trouble there with people putting their cars there and we can't get out. I don't know how to show this.
Yeah, the overhead should work, and you can zoom in.
Kingston Street, the 200 block, is not a street. It's a fire lane. And if you can see where my husband's work van is.
So if you can actually point to it on the overhead.
This is 326, which is what they're talking about.
Okay, and let me see if I can get this. I'm trying to show there's two houses behind that, behind their backyard. And let's see something. When I went to the hearing, I was hoping to see drawings of what the plans would look like, but there were no pictures or anything, you know.
Have you met with the project sponsor at all to discuss the project?
I met with Miss Phoebe when she was there. In fact, she gave me a study of shadows. She said I would lose 1 hour of sunlight. It's already cold there because when we moved in there back in 83, there was no, the houses that are behind these, her house was a lot, dirt lot before. And my mom complained, said that they were going to take away the sunlight, the heat. And now that the two houses are there, it's freezing in there. And anyway, also, the thing is, it makes it dangerous there because when you're trying to get out of your property, the people on Prospect are going like this, and they almost hit you.
Okay.
You know? And, you know, I was told that it's going to, I don't know if you can see my house over here, but I was told that it's going to also decrease the value of my house.
Who told you that?
I was told that by a city worker that was across the street at 325 Prospect.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if there's any other public comment, but thank you for your testimony.
Okay.
Is there any other public comment on this item or on item number 3 for 326 Prospect Avenue? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
So we did meet. Christine was one of the people who came to our public meetings, and she was very concerned about loss of light. In the picture, you could see there is the hip roof on the existing historic cottage and then the flat roof on the nonconforming unfortunate addition, as I call it. Because she was concerned, I submitted as part of my package, which you probably have, Mr. Sanchez, an extensive sun study. The unfortunate part for Christine is she really, her property was tremendously compromised by the pair of two-story buildings that are down the slope from the subject property. They are the ones that provide 80 or 90% of the shadow on her building. Ours has an effect for 1 hour in each of the fall and spring seasons when it is not overlapping with the shadow that's already there.
Okay, thank you. So I think with that, I will take the item under advisement and close the public hearing. Would like the neighbor and the project sponsor to maybe meet one more time and discuss the alternatives in some in greater detail, make sure that there's an understanding there of the impacts. I think in regards to kind of the impacts on pulling out and getting onto Prospect, I don't see the project having any impact on that. All the proposed work is at the rear of the building, and so I don't think see it making that situation any more dangerous, but would like maybe the parties to meet one more time and to have some discussion on the project. But we'll take the matter under advisement and move on to the next item.
Item number 4, case number 2014.0793V, 1117 Howard Street, rear yard and open space variances sought. Project sponsor for this case, please approach the mic. You also get 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, good morning. Again, this is a document for posting and pictures. Good afternoon again. Oh, good morning, Mr. Scott Sanchez. This is the second hearing. I would like to give a microphone to the architect, because he's dealing with the owner and architect and stuff like that. So, and also we're dealing with the neighbors. I would like to explain to you what it is in case I have anything else, I can come back and talk.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Robert Fukuda. I'm an architect for this project, and I'm here with Ahmad and Steve Clenard, the owner of the property. This building was built in 1920, and it's in a lot that has only access by the street. All the other three sides are landlocked. The owner purchased the property in October of 2013, and the property has a violation associated with it for illegal change of use to a health spa. With a food service area. The property, it's zoned as a PDR use, but it was also being used at the time as a non-conforming residence. And the existing plan of the building requires on the second floor that you go all the way from the front of the property to the rear stair, down the stair, and to the front roll-up door to exit the property. And so it's a hazard right now. The owner's not responsible for the notice of violation, but he is responsible to fix it. Also, the front facade of the project of the property is just this. It's a banal like stucco facade with no street frontage. It only has a roll-up metal door. And so all the activity that was happening in this building was just happening undetected and a lot of it unpermitted. So what we're proposing, we think, is a big improvement for the neighborhood. There's going to be street frontage. There's going to be a proper front door. It's going to be used as a residence and not take away from any of the residential aspects of the neighborhood. And we're going to include the required usable outdoor area. And we're requesting that because the building's been in place since the 1920s and the roof structure spans the entire length of the project to the rear party wall. And in addition, the second floor provides a structural diaphragm with that party wall that's shared with the adjacent property on Langton. There's also a legal agreement between the two properties that party wall be maintained. We'd like to request a variance for the keeping the building structure in place without complying with the 25-foot rear yard current requirement.
Thank you. So I think, as you stated, the current owner bought the property in October of 2013. It sounds like there are two outstanding violations. One, that it has been used as a residence without proper permits, and then you mentioned also the use of as a health spa. And is that health spa use has been abated?
Correct. Uh-huh. Okay. But there is like a full kitchen in there. And the violation was actually for this health spa, but it was being used continuously as a residence. You go in there and you see that these rooms are all set up with beds, and there's like a sort of a makeshift bathroom and a full kitchen in there. So we want to put back per code, and we're also including a fire sprinkler system in this building.
That answers that question. Has the owner been living, making this his residence since he bought the property in 2013?
Hasn't been occupying the building.
Okay. He hasn't been occupying the building. The spa was illegally built, but there's nothing left off of it. I mean, just the room, they divided this to the room. It's a regular massage place. They try to establish, but...
So you're saying the building has been vacant since the owner acquired it in 2013. The health spa is no longer operating.
Nothing.
And this is just to legalize the conversion to the residential use.
Yes.
Okay. We did receive one letter of support this morning, but we'll see if there's any public comment now.
Sure.
Any public comment on item number 4 for 1117 Howard Street? Seeing no public comment, we'd close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting the adaptive reuse of the existing building, that would be abating the violation and legalizing a dwelling unit in its location. Which is a principally permitted use in the zoning district. We can move on to the next item. Next, maybe before we
item
go on
to item number five.
Item five, we should 799 Castro. We had also intended to continue that. So
Right. Maybe
we can call that one out of order and see if there's any public comment on that before we can just at least continue that item.
That would be item number 11. Item number 11, case number 2008.0410V, 799 Castro Street, also known as 3878 21st Street. Lot area, front setback, and rear yard variances sought.
So on this item, we have received some additional information that kind of calls into question the required process for this project. Is there any public comment on this? We would otherwise continue this to... the next hearing to July 22nd. Is there any public comment on the continuance of item number 11, 799 Castro Street, to the July variance hearing? So there's public comment on the continuance. So would you like to speak to the matter of the continuance then? If anyone has anything to say, but this is just in regards to continuing the item 1 month.
Okay, so it's just postponing it by a month. Is that what you're
That's
saying?
That's correct, to get additional information. So unless if there's additional comment on it, it's just simply on the matter of the continuance and not on the merits of the case.
We
can step forward to the microphone, please.
Are you the sponsor, ma'am, or are you...
No, I just have a question.
Sure.
Would the request for additional information also include a request from the neighbors and people who are affected by the building?
Certainly, anyone who is a neighbor or has comments on the project can provide that to staff, and they can work with the project sponsor to address or to answer those questions. But this is mainly because it's been presented that there is a dwelling unit in the front building that was not previously known to us. And so we are needing to confirm that fact. So
that's how would we provide the information that we wish to provide to you regarding the impact on our...
By phone or email directly to the staff contact that's listed on the agenda for this item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
During that period, is there is the developer have any plan to re-meet with the neighborhood? Because we met with them a year ago. 8 different homeowners in the area came, gave concerns and objections, gave emails and everything, and there was no follow-up until we saw the meeting for today.
There's no requirement for the project sponsor to meet. Certainly, it would benefit the project sponsor to meet with neighbors and hear their concerns.
Okay.
You can contact the project sponsor directly as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So seeing no other public comment, we continue this item 1 month to the July 22nd. Variance hearing on item number 11, and we can start move back to the regular calendar.
Moving back to item number 5, case number 2015-000152 VAR, 1127 Carolina Street, front setback variance sought. Project sponsor here for this case. Please approach the mic, sir.
Good morning.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for taking the time to hear this case. I'm Joshua Adlin, both the homeowner and the architect for the project. I'm also the principal and founder of Adlin Darling Design, one of the leading sustainable architecture firms in the country. Right off the bat, just starting 1 through 5 of the variance findings, number one, since its original conception, the existing building built in 1950 was located on the front property line with zero setback, and all the neighboring buildings adjacent are obviously setback, and this is what the diagram I'm showing right here is. You can see the house in green is my house is directly on the front property line, and all the other neighbors are set back. So it's a unique condition. So number two, the simple fact that the existing property located at 1127 is located on the front property line creates an existing non-conforming situation that unnecessarily penalizes the homeowner. Number three, the purpose of the proposed trellis and associated column are to provide this third story with the appropriate amount of shade from the southwestern sun. The neighbor directly north of the building currently benefits from the same exact exception to the front yard setback and their home has both a trellis and an extended eave that it protrudes into the front yard setback. And all we're proposing for the property is at 1127 Carolina is also to be able to benefit from this extension into the front yard setback. And then number four, given the fact that the modest trellis, which resides 9'10" back from the front property line and 9 feet below the height limit, I could have literally added another story, but I have no intention. It's hardly visible at all from the neighboring homes, and it's not materially detrimental to the public welfare or material injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. So in addition, the neighbor to the north who is closest to this extension actually has written a letter of support, which I believe you have in your file as well, of the original design that is proposed. So number five, as mentioned in items 1-4, the approval of this variance request will not have any adverse impact on the existing fabric of the adjacent properties or negatively impact their quality of life, view, access to light and air. And granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the code and will not adversely affect the master plan. I'd like to also add a rendering, which I believe you've also seen, of the proposed addition. I mean, the focus here is really the most effective solar shading strategy to mitigate solar heat gain is exterior shading, not interior shading. You want to stop the heat gain before it actually penetrates the building. So I'm trying to design an appropriately designed length of trellis to mitigate that southwest sun. And in addition, the concern is if you take the extension and the remaining associated column and beam, you have kind of a developer-looking home, which is, I think, the last thing we want to promote in the city. If you look back at the original, you can start to see how the architectural language of the existing structure is picked up both horizontally and vertically in this.
Can you pull that down a bit?
So that there it is, after with the variance, and here it is without. And again, I wouldn't be proposing the extended trellis if it had any impact on the neighbors in a negative way.
Thank you. So one of the arguments is about the shading of the new story. Now, is there any way to do a code-complying addition that would provide adequate shading? I mean, notice the floor below doesn't have any overhang at all.
Well, actually, that's the problem, is that that's what I live with now, and it's a cooker.
Okay.
And the idea is just to get the appropriate amount of length to that trellis.
And on the alternative that you have there, is the overhang there in line with the that of the adjacent property to the west?
Yes. Okay. Well, basically, that's what the RDC planning department is supporting. Is
right.
It's just 2 feet back.
Okay.
But without the column and the beam.
Okay. All right, thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item on 1127 Carolina Street. Any public comment?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Blank. I'm the one of two neighbors in the white property you just saw directly to the south of 1127, it's 1129 Carolina. We have some substantial concerns regarding the proposed addition, including but not limited to the variance that's being requested today. We feel that it is out of character with the neighborhood, that it, as you know, there's a large open space directly across the street, and the combination of the fact that there's no front setback on the existing structure and the balcony that's the deck that's going to be built there, I think creates something of a monolith right at the sidewalk there, and turns the open space across the street from a public space into a public space with a private balcony over it. Obviously, there are some substantial impediments to our property enjoyment on the south side from the proposed development, and those are exacerbated by the longer trellis that's being proposed.
Thank you. So just wanted to confirm, so and that's my understanding, the front of the building is to the south. So when you say that you're the property to the south, are you the one that's set back substantially from the front
property line? The white
100-year-old. Kind of eastern. You're really more to the east, perhaps, of the subject property.
The park is west.
The park is west, yeah.
West.
Okay. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
And is there any other additional public comment on 1127 Carolina Street? Seeing none, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
Thank you.
This is the first time I've heard that my neighbor is opposing the project. I met with him 3 or 4 times 6 months prior to my submission, and he was very clear in saying, obviously, your one-story addition is going to affect my view, you know, to the north. But I will quote him in saying, I can't begrudge you your right to provide for your growing family, and I would do the same if I were in your position. And I've, you know, shown him mock-ups, physical, like literally went out with 2x4s and mocked up what we were doing. And he never said, I oppose it. He basically said, I would do the same in your position. And I'd like to clarify, if you go to 5.2, that's the existing condition elevation. And you can see that's from the rear. You can also look at the front. But his house is towering over ours. We have the shortest building in the block that is 20 feet below the height limit. And I could add another story, which I'm not. So I'm 9 feet below the height limit. My FAR is 50% of what it could be allowable. So the fact that my existing house resides where it does, and he's saying that that's a problem. He bought the property, his unit. You know, it's been there since 1950. So I think I'm being very respectful in pulling it back and just asking for that 2-foot extension. So I'm a bit troubled. He also has a completely uninterrupted view straight ahead to the park and the, you know, Twin Peaks. So what he was experiencing before this or currently is kind of an anomaly. You know, given that his house is towering above mine and mine's the shortest in the block, any addition, any vertical addition would have an impact on his view. So he has an anomalous experience where he's looking over the shortest building and he's well above ours. And I will say, this is nothing against my neighbor. He's an absolute gentleman, and we've been very cordial. And I've experienced great neighborly relations with all my neighbors. But I'm a bit surprised that today he chose to contest, I guess, I'm a little confused as to the hearing is about the variance, but he's kind of just contesting the fact that I'm adding a third story.
And the building permit has been submitted for the project, correct?
Yeah.
Do you know what the status of the 311 notification is? Has not yet been.
No.
From what I can
tell. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That would be the appropriate time to comment on the remainder of the third story addition if they do have concerns about that. Okay. But I just wanted to make that clear.
So. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So with that, we'll close the public hearing. I think it'll take the matter under advisement at this point. I know the residential design team does have concerns about the proposed addition that has been expressed to the project sponsor, and so I'd like to consider their concerns a bit further and appreciate the alternative design that you have put forward, and maybe we can have some additional discussions about something that may still require a variance, but less of a variance that would still accommodate the design concerns that you have. So we can have some further discussion on that moving forward. So again, the public hearing is closed, taking the matter under advisement, and we'll have further discussions regarding the design of that.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2013.0960V, 2833 to 2835 Union Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
My name is Griff Harshen, the owner of this property, and the project sponsor here. This variance is for a rear stair. It's a two-unit building. This is the primary access of the upper unit to the rear yard. The building is currently undergoing renovation, but was an existing non-conforming structure that extended too far into the backyard. However, to provide access to the upper unit to the shared backyard, this is really necessary. We have a letter of support from the neighbors immediately to the northwest who would be most affected by this stairway. It does not seem to impact really anyone else, and in fact is designed to help maintain light and air exposure for the lower unit. That's about all I have.
Okay. Thank you. So if there's nothing further to add, we'll see if there's any public comment on this item, and we're on item number 6 for 2833 to 2835 Union Street. Let's see. So seeing no public hearing, it's my understanding the Section 311 expired on June 6th as well, and there was no discretionary review request?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, without a closed public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Item number 7, case number 2014-001944VAR, 2079 15th Avenue, side yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, ma'am.
Mr. Sanchez, good morning. For your record, Mary Gallagher. The property is a single-family home on 15th Avenue between Pacheco and Quintera in a RH1D zoning district. The existing building is one story at street level, and it's a downsloping lot. This is the only one-story building on a block of two-story homes. The proposal... This is a side facade existing building, proposed building, this street. Oops. So the proposal is to add a story, to add no more than 4 feet from the existing main rear wall, and then add a single sub-basement room. The proposal requires a variance because it's an RH1D district, requires two side yards of 3 feet each. However, as you can see from the Sanborn map, the pattern on the block is to have homes at or very near the north side property lines, and then there's an open side yard on just the south side. The open south side yard is, in fact, the leading characteristic of the block faced. So this is the existing plan. The outermost existing perimeter walls are both at the property line, and so it's non-complying on both sides. The proposal is existing proposed. The proposal is to remove the non-complying portions on the south side and then raise the second story from the existing perimeter walls of the existing building. Many of the homes in the block have not only extensive front and rear windows, but also they have side windows which face on the side yard, and they also face on what's often blank north wall of the adjacent buildings. This one's at 2045. This one's at 2023. This is also the situation at the subject property where you can see it has south side windows on its side yard and then no windows on its north-facing wall. And the neighbor in this house has an issue because she's got these south-facing walls that have had the benefit of looking over a one-story home. And so that's how this home, their home, differs from all the others. This is a rear view looking down from the back. This is the neighbor's house. And as you can see from all the houses on the block, this is the only one that gets a lot of direct sunlight because the adjacent building has been one story. What the neighbor is particularly concerned about is this window right here, which is their high kitchen window. So any proposal, the second floor, is going to block the view and sunlight from those south side windows, just as they're already blocked from all the other south side windows on the block. The neighbor asked for a shadow study, which we did, and we looked at the originally proposed project, a theoretical project where it was flipped to the south side, and then a project amended with a north side wall lowered 18 inches for a depth of 28 feet. It was really a theoretical exercise for this middle scenario, because that would be a true demolition of the building and not an addition. But what we found in this exercise was that by lowering that north wall 18 inches, we got very near the same circumstance and shadows as one would if one could have flipped the building. And so we did lower that 18 inches, and just last week extended the 28 feet back to 38 feet. The resulting shadow on the neighbor's building from the new building is going to be very much like the shadow that the neighbor's building casts on its next-door neighbor. This is 2073 and 2069, and in fact, again, this is the situation that goes down the block, that every home blocks the light and shadow of the adjacent home's south windows. So in summary, the location of the existing building walls on the property line, along with the pattern of south side yards, is an exceptional circumstance. The location of the existing north walls on or near the property line would render a code-complying second story a hardship because of structural difficulties and would result in an unusually narrow top floor. While we appreciate the neighbor has had a view and more direct sunlight than she will have in the future, the addition is one more in concert with the block and its pattern of south side yards, and the change in sunlight is not unexpected in the context of an urban area and not very much different than the shadow that every other building casts on its neighbor. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a few quick questions. So on that alternative, the flipped version, that was maintaining a 3-foot side yard against the neighbor, is that correct?
Actually, it's four. So okay. Let me get a... So what we have now, this is the proposal with the lowered north wall. So the property line is right on the north wall, and then we're going to have a 4-foot side yard right here, just as the neighbor has a 4-foot side yard right here. So in the shadow study, we flipped it and put it over to the south side. We destroy the south side pattern on the block and have a four-foot open side yard here. So there would be 8 feet between the proposed building and the neighbor's building. That would be by far the largest side yard on the block. The side yards right now, here we've got an existing four, and behind the non-complying section, it's a 4-foot. So we're keeping what's there. But down the block, the pattern tends to be 4 feet from the south wall to an appendage. It might be, in some cases, a chimney or a bay, and 5 feet from main wall to main wall.
And so, currently the proposal provides the 3-foot-11 side yard on the south side property line. So the alternative, just had it everything flipped, it still would have required a variance, but for the other side.
Right, but it also would have triggered a 317 demolition, and because the building was acquired for less than $1.506 million, it would be a mandatory discretionary review, and I don't believe it would meet the requirements of a demolition. And moreover, the neighbor or the project sponsors, their family that has limited resources in what they can do, and they, can only afford an addition.
Okay. And then she said by doing the shadow studies for the flipped version, you were able to come close with something by lowering the overall height of the building, that you're able to come up with an alternative building to the north side property line, reducing the height, and coming up with something that was comparable to that which would be had by not having a side yard variance along that north side property line.
Yes, although the lowering is just at the north wall for, I think it's 4 feet. Is that, John? Is that about a 4 feet width? 5 foot width. So it's actually it's an entry stairway. So okay. We're going to lower that, and then we extended it all the way to a bathroom that is now going to have a very low ceiling height. So that captures that, you know, angle at a certain type of day.
Okay. All right. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. And we're on item number 7 for 2079 15th Avenue. So anyone in no particular order can come forward and speak on this item.
Just approach the mic.
Hey, good morning.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Dick Allen, and my family has lived for 31 years across the alley from this project, and I want to thank you, Mr. Sanchez, for scheduling this hearing. I apologize that we cannot resolve the sunlight and code issue before now. And if you don't mind, I'd like to read this so I can get through my points, okay? We tried by scheduling meetings beginning with a sidewalk meeting back on February 18th at 12:30 p.m. This date is very important. It was sunny that day. The project story poles had been installed, and everyone in attendance could see firsthand that the proposed project would block the upper story windows' direct access to sunlight. All the other homes on 15th Avenue that morning enjoyed having direct access to sunlight. The sunlight pattern on this block was very observable. We even scheduled an informational meeting at the Golden Gate Heights Neighborhood Board on March the 3rd. The project sponsor made their presentation and told the board their project would meet city codes. The next door neighbors, Alice and Cecilia, expressed their concerns about losing sunlight from their south-facing windows, which they have enjoyed for 20 years. Since this meeting was informational, no vote was taken. When real estate brokers selling Golden Gate Heights property that is on RH1D, they present the properties as fully detached. The fully detached designation in San Francisco carries a very important sacred code that specifically protects an important quality of life feature, sunlight. Mr. Sanchez, please keep in mind that all residential permit applications must comply with the planning code and the residential design guidelines. We depend on those guidelines to protect our neighborhood. 2079 15th Avenue does not comply with residential guidelines. For example, the guidelines require that a project must maintain light to adjacent properties by providing adequate setbacks. How ironic it is that the project team, by adding 2,430 square feet, is an increase in size of 156% over the existing home and gives the project's south-facing windows more space for sunlight than their neighbors to the north, and also require contractors to trespass on their north neighbor's property. Residential design guidelines recommend that projects like 2079 that block sunlight be redesigned by providing a 3-foot setback on the newly upper constructed floors and a slope roof form in the design that will provide direct access to sunlight to their next door neighbor. If this variance is granted, all homes zoned in RH1D are opened up to risk of losing sunlight that is currently protected by residential design guidelines. And if the variance is granted, the neighborhood pattern will be broken. The home next door will be the only home on 15th Avenue block that will be without direct access to sunlight in their upper story windows, and their first story windows will be darkened. Mr. Sanchez, please protect the future of our Golden Gate Heights neighborhood. our quality of life and our zoning tradition by denying the variance request for 2079 and enforce the city's residential design guidelines.
That was time, but thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Could you hand this picture? And there's the story pulls.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Next member of the public for this item.
You get 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Steve Williams. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. This is a home designed by E.E. Young, master architect. So I didn't notice any HER or HRER in the file. I think it needs take a hard look at that. House was built in 1920. It's one of the oldest houses out there. First and foremost, the variance application is incomplete. They have not sought a variance from Section 188 because portions of the existing building do currently occupy the minimum side yard. The sponsor is looking to retain and greatly expand those portions of the building. So not only are they seeking a variance from the side yard requirement, but they're also seeking a variance from the requirement that you cannot expand a non-complying structure under Section 188. I'm not sure why that was missed, but it's not in the notice, it's not in the application, it's not mentioned anywhere. There's no special circumstance that apply to this property. Mary keeps insisting that there are. She has claimed that she's found some sort of magical pattern in the neighborhood development of side yards, but you have to look a little further than just two or three homes. As you can see there are 10 other lots on this same block that have side yards on both sides, including two right behind it. And every single other lot across the street and in the adjacent lots, they all have two side yards as is required by the code. So, second, the claim pattern can't come from man-made errors or mistakes or build-outs. It has to come from some natural circumstance. That's where the special circumstances that are applicable to only one property, it has to do with the size, the lot, the shape, or the topography, something along those lines. There's no hardship whatsoever. The only claim of hardship is some sort of visually jarring matter. That's just not present. The harm to the neighbors is obvious. The direct light that would be in perpetuity allowed to those upper story windows is going to be blocked, and the shadow studies show that clearly. And so you can't grant a variance that causes harm to the neighbors in this way. The majority of lots in the neighborhoods actually do supply both side yards, and they're not losing anything. They're nearly tripling the size of the building. This is sort of the cake and eat it too variance. You know, we want to triple the size of our building, be the only building out there with four floors of occupancy, first one in this neighborhood with four floors of occupancy, and we want a giant variance. Mary's comments about that the outermost perimeter walls are at the property line and therefore that's a hardship, that's not true. I've gone through the plans very carefully, and what they're claiming is the outer lines and the foundation is not. And
can you explain that a little bit further?
Yes, I can, if you'll give me the time. They're claiming, here's the front of the property, they're claiming that this is the foundation of the building, that this low garden wall is the foundation of the building. It's not the foundation of the building. And that makes their demolition calculations completely erroneous, and this theory that they'd suffer. And so if you look at the Sanborn map, you'll see that this house was built with a huge setback. The entrance is actually here, and this is a porch that was later covered. Now, what the plans show is the exact opposite. The plans show this is the foundation. That is not the foundation of this building. Here's the foundation of the building, the inside tract. And so in order to create this exponential I've made copies for you. I'll give you those. If you look at the aerial photograph that's in their report from Tim Kelly. It shows the building in 1938. The Sanborn is from 1950, and it shows the consistent size of the building. At some point later in time, without the benefit of permits, this low wall was added in the front here, and they're now calling that the foundation and saying, oh, we have to expand out here to this outer perimeter wall. That's not the foundation of this building. It never was. It was built without permits.
So you're arguing there's no crawl space underneath that deck?
The crawl space must stop back here somewhere. I've never been inside the building.
Okay.
But regardless, this is not the foundation of the building. I went through the permit history, which is also in Tim Kelly's report. It does not include any additional added foundations. Okay. This is the foundation over here that supports the building.
And the Tim Kelly report you're referring to is, what is that exactly?
It's in the file.
Yeah, and that's part of the preservation review of the project?
I think it was, that they submitted it and said that it didn't have any historic value.
Okay.
I didn't see any.
But you were saying that you didn't think any historic review had been done, yet you're citing the historic report that was done for the property?
I didn't see any response from the department back on that.
Okay.
That's the HRER, if you will.
Right.
I didn't see that.
Okay.
But
just maybe a couple more questions. Could you put the Sanborn map back up on the overhead, please?
Yes.
That you had highlighted. And, I mean, I think the argument that was put forward by the project sponsor is that there's a pattern on the subject block face of setbacks on the south side property line. And so do you disagree that on the subject block face, the overwhelming majority of houses, if not, I think, all but two, have this pattern?
If you just look at that small sample, there is a pattern. Obviously, this building doesn't fit it. But if you look at that very small sample, yes.
Okay.
That's there. But there are 10 lots on this very block that put it on both sides.
But they don't share the same frontage. I mean, you're looking at on the same block, the...
There's one two doors down that has it. And so, I mean...
Yeah. There's two on the block.
Yeah, and again, that's the built environment, okay. Not some physical characteristic of the lot.
It's the pattern of development, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then just finally, in regards to Section 180, I think that you may have raised this in a previous variance matter, but to clarify again, so Section 188 does prevent or prohibit the expansion of a non-complying structure and sets forth rules for that. They are seeking a variance from the actual code requirement itself, which is the side setback requirement, which is the only variance that they need to seek. They are seeking it from the required quantitative requirement of the code, and so that this is appropriately noticed. And I think properly here for the hearing, they don't need to seek any additional variances, but I wanted to clarify that. And we'll see if there's any other public comment. Thank you for your comments.
3 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning. My name is Rose Liu.
Mr. Sanchez, ladies, Ms. Mary Gallagher,
neighbors of 2079.
Excuse me, if you could please address
absolutely.
Me and speak into
yes.
the microphone.
Alice, friends and family, we are here today because we care about the outcome of the variance petition. I have the fortune to be a longtime friend of Alice, the north side neighbor of 2079. Alice is a great cook. She has the best catfish chowder, coconut noodle, and rainbow salad in town. Her food was the only one I had a craving for when I was pregnant. My four children here have been enjoying her dishes even before they were born. She has a big family, and no surprise that everyone chose to come to her house for holiday celebration. I had the honor to be invited for Christmas 1 year, and it was amazing how many dishes she had prepared for everyone. I remember Alice's mother, who was sitting in the kitchen that day. She smiled to whoever came to greet her. The sun was shining on her face, and she looked like an angel. She's no longer with us now. In heaven, she must concern what could happen to her favorite room of the house if her neighbor's plan approved the natural serenity of her kitchen, the place she spent most of her time working hours or of her waking hours, would disappear permanently. For people that own 2079. I would like to extend a sincere congratulations for the wonderful coming of your new home. It must be years in the planning and waiting to finally get to this far. It is like your baby, and I know you will want to see it complete soon. And it must be very exciting to have more room in the house. It is a luxury people in the Bay Area all crave for. As my children, they all want to have their own room, own space, and own privacy. It is very challenging to teach them how to share, how not to take others' belongings just because they wanted to or because they can. Growing up, we learned not to cut in line and definitely do not step on people's foot without an apology. Doing the right thing is what makes this country great, and doing the right thing is what makes us immigrants want to come to this country. But doing the right thing is not easy. It demands understanding, compromise, and willingness to share something valuable to you. However difficult it is, in our heart, we know what it is right thing we should do. At the end of the day, we may all sleep well, not only because we are law-abiding citizens, but also knowing we have done the right thing. And with permission, Mr. Sanchez, my four children has been here since 8:30. They have put up their opinion to show the support of their favorite Aunt Alice. Would you give them less than a minute to present their idea? Thank you very much.
Sorry, just one question. So you don't reside at the neighboring property?
I visit frequent, and I have the fortune of knowing Alice, who's okay. The north side of neighbor.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So we may need to adjust the microphone.
Sun, what a beautiful day. I want to sit here. I want more room.
Aw, where is my son?
Variants? What variants? I don't see any.
Thank you. That's all.
Thank you very much. Can we move on to the next member of the public, please?
Okay. Good morning, Mrs. Sanchez and everyone. I'm Cecilia Lowe, address 2073 15th Avenue. We are immediate Northside neighbors for 20 years. We strongly oppose the variance. There are no exceptional circumstances to justify the variance. Sponsor has pointed out neighboring houses on the block did not give 3 feet setback when they were built in 1946 or before. RH1D code was established by the planning department in the 60s. To build this project in 2015, they need to follow the current code. Building new project with 3 foot setback will not cause unnecessary hardship. They can expand to more than double their size in compliance with the planning code. Any hardship is self-induced by the project sponsor in wanting more building area than is reasonable and appropriate in this neighborhood. Privilege of acquiring this variance is not necessary for enjoyment of subject property, which will be more than double its original size. This variance, if granted, will allow subject property to permanently block the natural sunlight
view, air and sky exposure to our 9 now south-facing windows. Our house should not be the only house on the block deprived of natural sunlight, view, and sky exposure by their project. It will cause invasion of privacy to our property because there is no access to subject property's north wall except to trespass through our property. Their four-story house, almost tripling in size, will not be in harmony with the neighborhood if they are going to be built on the property line and block sunlight view and sky exposure to their next door neighbor. We have question about property line and fence between 2079 and 2073. We strongly appeal to you not to grant an exemption. They should respect the city code. Please do not undo the code for the benefit of one person. And regarding the small changes they've done to the property, to their design, do not adequately address the blockage of sunlight issue to our south side windows.
Thank you. So are you represented by Mr. Williams? Is that correct?
Thank That's you. Correct.
I have one question, but I can ask Mr. Williams to maybe come up and... I was wondering if you and your client would support a code-complying alternative that did have a 3-foot setback that was built to the allowable height. Would that be something that you would support?
If they build 3 feet setback and then with the adequate light well and also with the, let's see, there were... So if they build with a 3 feet setback with adequate light well and redesign with the reduced height and restricted by the NSR excluding future rooftop decking.
So you'd want, in addition to, you'd want something more restrictive than even a code complying project because you'd want the 3 foot setback plus the light well plus a lower height than what the code would otherwise allow.
Okay.
I
think the short answer is yes, that they would support. And we've met a number of times, and we said, capture the square footage you want down the hill, mm-hmm. you know, that you have room in the rear yard. It's like, don't push the 3 foot closer, that's the most crucial issue here. And, you know, those other restrictions, I think, you know, were for non-code compliant projects. And so if it's code complying, I think that it would be fully supported.
Okay. So even to the permissible height limit?
Well, there's no building there at the permissible height limit. So yeah, obviously we'd have to see, you know, what's being proposed. But I don't think that the department would support something at 35 feet at the front. There's no building even close to that there. They tend to be built down the hill because it's very steep and capture the square footage there. And that's what they're doing, going 4 floors, which is the very first okay. of its kind. Almost tripling in size. So,
okay. All right. Thank you for that. Any other public comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez and everyone. My name is Alice Lee. My address 2073 15th Avenue. I'm the immediate north side neighbors of this project. I want to present to you how this project will have an impact on the quality of life if they allow to have surveillance. So if you look at the first picture here, as you see, the picture on the left side show how much light we have. Those windows are the kitchen, the bedroom, and the stairway window. If you look at the middle picture, you see how much almost completely all our natural light is blocked. If you look at the third picture, that is if they follow the city code of 3 feet setback, we have some light back on our windows. We are not having a lot of light, and we accept that. So when we complain to them, we have three meetings. They offer a skylight, but our roof is so old. We don't want to damage our roof. And the other offer they offer is they do not give as much light as the 3 feet setbacks. To answer Mary's question, of she said that the 18-inch step down is not different from the 3 feet setback. We will show it to you. See, when you compare the 18-inch step down and the 3 feet setback, see, we have almost doubled the light on the 3 feet setback. And not only that, we have more space in between fire hazard and trespassing a property line. You know, those can be avoided. Not only that, this is the city code. They should follow the city code. As you see, the 3 feet setback give more light than the 18 inches. So for their house, they have 11 windows on their south side. They give a 4 feet setback. So as you see, if they are allowed to have the variance, almost all our natural light will be blocked permanently. Our quality of life will be impacted. This is about quality of life too. They should not use all the other houses as reference, because all those houses were built in the 1940s. If you're going to build a 21st century house, follow the 21st century code. It's, in a way, it's so simple. In a way, it's so become complicated. All we want them to do, hey, respect the city code. We are not going to have all the light back. We're going to have some light back. And we are accepted. We are not even against your building or anything. Just give us some light back. Mr. Sanchez, I strongly oppose that. Please do not allow them to violate the city codes. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any additional public comment on this item? Anyone, please
can
step forward.
Can I answer one more question regarding Mary?
What is it regarding?
She was mentioning that all the other people south side of the house, they do not have natural light. We have all the picture to prove that.
Okay, you can submit any photographs that you would like to.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Paul Mindrup. I'm here on behalf of my wife and myself. We live at 2039 15th Avenue, just down the block, and have lived there for 15 years. We strongly recommend this zoning variance be denied. We believe the project in question will severely impact the privacy and open space shared by houses on our side of the block, that the amount of light reaching the windows of adjoining houses would be severely reduced, and that this extreme expansion would be contrary to the existing neighborhood pattern of construction, which currently gives equal air, light, space, and privacy to all houses. I know that we're specifically discussing the variance today, but we don't believe the project sponsors would need the variance if they weren't building a huge structure here. There are 31 homes on our block. The average square footage is 1,721 feet. The average house has 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. And most of the homes on our side of the block, which is the same as the project, have 2 floors at the front and 3 floors at the back. In contrast, this project proposes to more than double the square footage of the existing building to over 4,000 square feet, to add at least 2 bedrooms and 3 baths that I can count, and 2 floors. The resulting structure would clearly be far out of character with our neighborhood. The project sponsor mentioned that none of the other houses on our side of the block get light in our kitchen window, so why should 2073? But I can tell you that we get plenty of light, and I think that's all they are asking for. I listened with great interest as you described earlier the criteria for granting a zoning variance, particularly a few excerpts that there are exceptional or extraordinary circumstances, that enforcement of the provisions would be an unnecessary hardship, that the variance is necessary for preservation of a property right, and that the granting would not be materially injurious to improvements in the vicinity. I don't actually see how this variance qualifies on any of those points. Why is it a hardship if someone buys a house that is smaller than their requirements and is not allowed to triple its size? Why is it a hardship if the owner cannot build right up to the property line? Why can't the structure be made 3 feet narrower? One might ask why the owner didn't buy a larger house to begin with in a neighborhood where larger houses fit in harmoniously. We believe that if the planning department says it's all right to do this with one house on our block and is saying it's all right to do this on every house on our block, and if they're saying that, then it's all right to do this on every RH1D block in San Francisco. We just don't see how this is sustainable or fair. So we ask that you not make an exception here to the existing zoning laws, which are designed to help maintain the integrity of our neighborhood. We ask that you not promote the benefit of a few here at the expense of the many neighbors. We ask you to consider whether those seeking this variance will, in fact, inhabit this house at all, or in all probability sell it as soon as possible for profit. For these reasons and those stated by other friends and neighbors here today, we request this variance be denied. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes still, sir.
I am Nicholas Zagushkovsky. I live 2080 16th Avenue. So my house is actually located on the slope just below the 2079 we're talking about. And 2079 overlooked my house. So I was presented the project a year ago, which was essentially a remodeling, a modern way, but the house would have been looked like the current houses that we have on 15th Avenue. And when I saw the plan, I noticed a number of things that are a great concern to me. Number one, it's four-story tall. It's higher than any other house on 15th Street. And this, in combination with the addition of a balcony, is overlooking my my yard, is actually a threat to my privacy. There are huge windows on the west side. It's covering almost 80% of the wall. It has nothing to do with the type of houses that we have. And I'm concerned it's going to project concentrated light acting like a mirror. And to join the other neighbors, I'm very concerned that we're breaking the patterns of maintaining 3 feet or several feet of space between the houses. So apologize if my English is not perfect to explain those concerns, but that's basically what I wanted to express and the reason why I wanted you to reject the request for noncompliance.
Thank you. You're quite clear. Thank you. Any other public comment on this item?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Roland Lee. I am live in a neighborhood on 2206 Cecilia Avenue. I'm nephew of Alice, Cecilia, and Mickey. And today I'm reading a statement from Mickey Lee, who has a cold today. My name is Mickey Lee. I'm one of the next door neighbors at 2073 15th Avenue. We moved to this neighborhood in 1996. All of our neighbors are very nice and friendly people. Because my hobby is gardening, I have enjoyed taking care of the front yard for the previous two owners living at 2079 15th Avenue. We therefore have concerns for our neighbors and no intention to interfere with new neighbors Leo and Renee from altering and rebuilding their home. However, when I learned that the neighbors applied for the variance not to set back 3 feet from the north side property, I have had serious concerns about it. My main concerns are that their new home will be taller than its south and north side neighbors, and the design of the roof is a flat roof with a stepped wall around the roof instead of a slope roof without a stepped wall. As a result, their taller building with a flat roof and a step wall will obstruct the sunlight to all 9 of the windows on our south side wall. We enjoy cooking, and in fact, we spend a lot of time in our kitchen. All the nice views that we enjoyed from the kitchen will permanently disappear. If there is no sunlight in the kitchen, it will have a detrimental effect to the quality of life that we've enjoyed. Therefore, we would like to strongly oppose the variance. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item on 2079 15th Avenue? Please step forward.
Good morning. My name is Robert Lee. Good morning to Mr. Sanchez and everybody in this room. My name is Robert Lee, residing at 2073 15th Avenue with my sister. And I strongly oppose to this variance because of the quality of life is going to affect our family.
So, thank you for your comments. And any other public comment on this item? Seeing no other public comments, the project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
So, first of all, I'd like to say for the administrative record that I concur. Alice Lee is a really nice person, and so is her sister Cecilia. I want to thank these young people. You did a great job. I'd like to hire you for some of my other jobs. On 15th and 16th is undeniably one of Southside side yards. Oops. Southside side yards and not both side yards. This is a little dark. It doesn't come out great, but you can see the line, all of the properties. The majority of properties on 15th and 16th are built on or near the north line and open on the south. It wasn't an accident. Mr. Dolger bought up 15th and 16th, and this is one of his early developments. It's not one of his best developments, but it's one of his early ones, and he did this on purpose. So he's given these houses many, many more windows than most properties have. A single-family house typically has front and rear windows only. All of these houses benefit from south side windows as well. As we noted earlier, what's happening with the proposed house isn't something new or different. It's the same thing that's happened to every other house. All of these houses are about 19 to 20 feet tall. The existing home is 14 feet 11 inches, and it's going to be 20 feet 6 inches. So we're talking about 6 inches above the range of the norm. I think also, just so the neighbors know, Renee and Leo and their daughter are here today. They're not developers. They're a family. They tried, actually, to buy a larger house, and they were priced out of the market because of what the market's like today. And so they bought this building, trying to design a building that's like everyone else's building. It's two stories, the same as everyone else's buildings. It has a side setback of 4 feet, the same as Alice's house. They do not intend to sell this building. They're going to move in this building and be your neighbors. And what I'd love is for all of you to get along. And that's all we ever wanted from the start. We're very open to compromise. We have met several times. We're willing to meet several more. But I think to ask for a code-complying building on a block where the pattern is extremely clear, it's south side side yards, and we're actually improving the pattern. We're removing non-complying structures from that south side yard. There should be other things that we can do to help the situation a little bit more, but what we're proposing is the same as everybody else on the block. If you have any questions about that foundation wall, John Lum's here.
Thank you. Did you investigate a code-complying alternative? And if so, why did that not meet your client's needs?
Well, we didn't because of the pattern. So that would leave us with a... first of all, the south side side yard, the main wall is 4 feet away. So if we added 7 feet, that would give us a 24-foot wide building on a block with 26-foot wide buildings. So we would have a smaller building than everyone else on the second floor. I think just structurally, carrying up the walls made a lot more sense. in that it was the same wall that's carried up on every other building.
Okay. And previously you mentioned concerns about Section 317 and that the building does not qualify for administrative review because of the value of the structure. Do you have a recent appraisal to confirm that? Because it is not based on the sales price. It's based upon
right.
recent appraisal. So
no, I've never been asked for an appraisal to prove that something doesn't qualify. But no, we don't have an appraisal.
Okay. But, there is still that possibility if you did need to go through the route of Section 317 that it you don't know. It may appraise out for and be eligible for administrative review.
I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
I also actually just one other thing. The shadow study that shows a little bit of an improvement when it's flipped, that's not not only not code complying, but it's a 4 feet side yard and not a 3 feet side yard, what they're asking for. So the shadow they would get with what they're asking for, code complying, would be greater than the shadow that's shown in the shadow study and comparable with the shadow that's 18 inches.
Have you prepared one and shared that with the neighbors showing kind of what a code compliant shadow might be?
No.
Okay. And there is generally
And just the reason we did that is we showed a greater openness
right.
to show, look at this shadow.
Okay.
You can,
okay. I understand. And then at the rear of the property, the first and second levels, there is a proposed setback, I think, of 2'1".
Yeah, that was another change that we made. Originally, we had moved that rear wall to the north property line to line up with the front wall. But as this was like the fourth concession that we offered, we left that wall where it is, which is about 2 feet from the property line, and are now carrying it up. So the changes we've made are lowering 18 inches on the north wall, first for 28 feet, and then another one for 38 feet. Made the bathroom window non-transparent, opaque, or not opaque, but not transparent.
Right.
And actually, there's five. And then the fourth was retaining the 2 foot setback at rear and carrying that up from it where it is. And then we also brought in the rear of the building six inches.
And
so we've given four different ways, and we've asked repeatedly what kind of compromise can you offer, and can you tell us, you know, what you'd be willing to live with. And what we've gotten back every single time is, has to be code complying.
And so that 2'1" setback, is there any reason why it can't be carried further forward at the first and second levels all the way to the front of the building? I don't see any reason why the plan couldn't be altered to at least maintain the 2'1" setback.
It would be a demolition then.
And there's no way the project could be revised elsewhere to retain existing material?
Well, I suppose you could leave a little of the non-complying part in the south side yard, but that's kind of an ugly, you know, it's an ugly situation and wouldn't improve that open south side pattern.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Appreciate your comments. I definitely agree that there is a very strong pattern on this block face of having buildings, I think, as you said, that either have no setback or very little setback. And it seems that even the neighbor's property who's most impacted here, their building does not even appear to be on the property line. There's a setback maybe a foot or so, but they do have a minor setback. I think at this point, I know that the Section 311 notice is out. I'm assuming that there will be a discretionary review filed on this, and the Planning Commission will be hearing this, unless if there is some compromise that can be attained in the interim. But I think at this point I would take the matter under advisement, making no decision at this point and withholding any decision until if a discretionary review is filed. I think could be supportive of variance to some extent, but I don't quite see the need and would want to get more information on why at least a 2 foot setback couldn't be provided. It's my concern. I do see that there's a strong pattern. I see the building be compatible with the pattern of development on this block face. But well, I guess one of the things that bothers me somewhat is that it is quite a large home. And it's an RH1D district, which is where we have larger homes. I understand that, but concerned why there couldn't be at least some minor changes. May still require a variance, but some minor changes that would not. I mean, I'm looking at the basement plan, and I don't know why that couldn't be brought in further there. It would make, you know, the area around the wet bar a little bit smaller. You know, the entry area, I don't know why that could not be revised and minimized, and the stairs would pinch in a little bit under the kitchen, but it seems that there's some alternatives there I would like you guys to look at in the interim. So, thank you. Public hearing is closed, and matter is taken under advisement.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2015-002213 VAR, 844 Lombard Street, street frontage variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Scott. I'm Andre Rothblatt, representing my clients, Karen and Bruce Bola. And so before I show you the garage and the project that we're asking for a variance, I want to show you this house here. This is half of the project. This is an existing house that's in the rear of the property. And this house was built by my client's grandfather, Bernardo Bolo, in 1923. And Karen and Bruce will be the third generation Bolas to reside there. And this house actually has not been improved since 1923, except for the deck that was added in the 70s, which is falling down. So I was hired to remodel this building, and part of the improvements is that we want to take over the garage and make that habitable space, and therefore we triggers a need to build a new garage in front. So here's a picture of the property. Now this is looking from the rear towards Lombard Street, and it's right by the crooked part of Lombard Street. And so where you see these three cars here, that's where we want to build a garage and a carport. So here's a rendering of our garage and carport design, and we tried very hard to disguise this as a garage and carport. We tried to do something that was very visually interesting, and the zigzag design is an homage to Lombard Street and a reference to its topography. So I know that we have to meet the five findings, so let me read those off. So criteria one, is there an exceptional circumstance? Yes, the configuration of the property with the legal non-conforming residence at the rear is an unusual and exceptional circumstance. Two, would literal enforcement of the code result in a practical difficulty? Yes, literal enforcement of the code would force a design to incorporate a new residential unit with the garage below, which would result in a larger structure that would block the visibility of the existing rear residence, a potential historic resource. Because the existing house was built prior to current code, literal enforcement of the code is a hardship. Three, is a variance necessary for a property right possessed by other nearby properties? Yes, the majority of the properties on the block have garages, many of them in front of rear yard residences, as with our circumstance. Four, would granting a variance be detrimental? No, granting the variance maintains the status quo. It merely formalizes the current parking situation, it screens a parked car from view, and offers an attractive remedy to an existing parking pad. Five, is granting the variance in harmony with the intent of the code? Yes, Section 144, the relevant code, actually prescribes a design that is, quote, visually interesting and attractive to the pattern of the neighborhood, and we definitely feel that this design is consistent with the intent of the code. So finally,
can I zoom?
There's two images here. Can you get both of them? Yeah, yeah. So here I want to compare and contrast two garages here. So this is, that's our property. That's, and right here is a three-car garage. And this was a three-car garage. This is the type of design that we didn't want to do. You know, we couldn't have a large curb cut. We didn't want to have repetitive blank garages. So that's a three-car garage in front of a rear property, and that's a three-car garage and carport. So again, we tried our best to do something that was visually interesting. You know, we like this creative solution of the zigzag, and we thank you for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. See if there's any public comment on this item. Item number 8 for 844 Lombard Street. Seeing no public comment, we close the public hearing. Be inclined to grant the requested variance for all the reasons stated in your presentation. I appreciate this. This is a very, I think, thoughtfully executed design here, and thank you for that. So we can move on to the next item. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2014-000229 VAR, 73 Downey Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Tom Jones. I'm an architect. My clients are Diane Mervis and Alan. I'm sorry, Diane Fellman and Alan Mervis. They were unable to be here today. I'm going to go through quickly some of the material I submitted for the variance and some supplementary drawings and diagrams I've done. I think for the first part of the variance findings, is there an exceptional or extraordinary set of circumstances applying to the property? I wanted to use this drawing. I think that's... Maybe I need to zoom out a little. And this was submitted with the variance application. I think what we have here is a wonderful block of historic buildings built many years before zoning. What you see here in the pale yellow-green is a pattern of the overwhelming majority of the existing properties penetrate into the rear yard more than existing rear yard would allow. And in particular, and this pink one right here is 73 Downey, by the good intent of the rear yard averaging, which is part of the code, paradoxically, this particular property would not be able to add vertically on what is the 100-year-old foundation of its own building because the adjacent building is set back, whereas the setback building could actually come all the way out to their rear yard, and that is part of that sort of missing teeth pattern in there. But the important thing, and I documented this in the findings, is the overwhelming number of structures in this area that have either a much deeper rear yard or are at least one story bigger and in a rear yard. Over 76% of the buildings in this neighborhood have a shallower rear yard, that is, they penetrate deeper, and one additional story beyond what the current 73 Downey has. So we hope that sets up the understanding that because of those historic patterns, this unique condition of this house is that it is disadvantaged in realizing the total gross square footage that other property owners have long enjoyed, including some people who've added recently to their homes via dormers. I think the second finding that's important to go through is that the idea is that owing to such exceptional or extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement would create a difficulty. Here's an example, and I think we included this in the package, that shows you what you could do under the existing zoning, which is a towering setback series of boxes. Ironically, you could go deeper with a two-story so-called pop-out, but have to be 4'9" behind the existing house in order to realize the potential under the current zoning. One could do that, but be left with a bedroom of barely 8 feet in depth, or have to go an entire story higher, which would be permitted and would not require a variance. Both of these we feel would be inordinately expensive, compromise the use of the building, and certainly also keying to other aspects of the variance application, that this is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of the property, but more importantly, that it is materially less detrimental to people in the neighborhood to do the bottom option, with the roof form taken from the existing neighborhood patterns versus the top version, which would not require a variance at all. I want to quickly go through some other drawings. These are exercises we went through with the neighbors after the initial meeting. Neighbors to the south in particular were concerned about the impact. Here's showing the existing building. The dotted line shows what could be done under the code. The drawing on the right, it shows you what we're proposing. This drawing shows you what would be allowed with no variance. That is a code-complying 40-foot addition. And this also no variance. We could have popped two dormers in. Ironically, they would appear taller than would what we're trying to do. And then quickly, in my last remaining minute, again, these are drawings we hadn't submitted in the package, but we did have a subsequent package prepared for neighbors. This is the existing situation now seen from downhill in a rear yard. I had to construct it this way because the foliage is so thick it's very hard to actually see this. But here's the existing property. Here's 69 Downey, which would be the most affected building, and the buildings on either side. Here's what no variance would permit us to do. And here is what we are proposing. So I think that it speaks to items 3, 4, and 5. Necessary for the enjoyment, yes, more economical, but I think more critically that is more consistent with the pattern of the neighborhood. It preserves the character of the neighborhood and is much less deleterious to the adjacent neighbors and the backyards around us than a code-complying addition. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the various alternatives that you have prepared for consideration. So if there's any public comment on this item? Seeing no public comment, we did close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, also noting that the Section 311 neighborhood notification, I believe, expired a couple weeks ago. There were no discretionary reviews filed on the application. We can move on to the next item.
Item number 10, case number 2014-003213 VAR, 680 to 682 Oak Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Brian Kaufman. I am the architect for the project, and I am representing the owners of the building. The subject building is a four-unit building, which is currently undergoing a condominium conversion process. As part of that conversion process, there was an inspection report issued by the Department of Building Inspection, and the owners of the building were asked to legalize a stair, which is currently constructed at the rear of the building and serves as a means of egress for the two units located at the rear of the building. Where the stair has been built, there is less than a 10-foot yard at the rear of the property. And with the current stair configuration as a switchback stair, there is just enough room to get a 3-foot-wide stair on both sides of the switchback and then another 3-foot aisle, which takes you to the side of the property where you can egress through a rated passageway. So what we did as part of this process is we had a pre-application meeting with the building and fire department to see if they would be okay with certain non-complying features, and we worked out an arrangement with them to place fire-rated doors and feasible link windows and what they said would be an acceptable exit from the building. And subsequently, we've now moved on to apply for the variance to have the stair constructed within the rear yard.
Okay, thank you. Do you know approximately when the stairs may have been constructed?
I would say they're at least 10 years old. I would, just from their age and appearance, I would say probably 10 to 15.
Okay. And was that, do you know if it was done by a previous owner of the building, or was it done by the current owner?
We can't tell from any documentation that we've been able to find.
Okay. And then the building department did not require any firewall for the stairs?
No, we did discuss it with them, but in the end they said no firewall would be necessary.
Okay. Thank you. So if there's any public comment on the item. Any public comment on this item? Item number 10 for 680 to 682 Oak Street. Seeing none, we close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it's legalizing an existing exit stair that appears to be required means of egress under the building code. No known complaints on this. This was brought to property owner's attention through the condo conversion process. And we can move on to the next item.
Item number 11 was continued to the next hearing on July 22nd. So moving to case item number 12, case number 2014-000098 VAR, 621 to 623 Alvarado Street, rear yard variance sought.
Hi, my name is Kevin Stevens with Kevin Stevens Design Group, representing the owner for 621 to 623 Alvarado. It's a remodel of existing building. The existing exterior walls and volume of the building has not been changing through the remodel. The existing rear wall does encroach 3 feet into the last 45% of the rear yard lot. There is two units in this building. The bottom unit is the first and second floor, and the top unit is the third floor. Currently, the bottom unit has two means of egress. One is from the front door on the second floor to the street, and then one is on the ground floor to the rear yard. The top unit only has one means of fire egress, and that is from the second floor to the street. And we're requesting a variance to add a rear yard spiral staircase 5 feet in diameter from the third floor to the rear yard to create a second means of egress and access to the rear yard open space. We felt like a steel round staircase would be the least obtrusive encroachment into the property. 5 feet in diameter is required by the building code, and so it would mean that our staircase encroaches 8 feet into the last 45% of the property.
Thank you. And is this being done voluntarily? It's not something that is being required by Department of Building Inspection to bring it up to current code compliance?
Correct. The fire code used to read that you were required two means of fire egress per unit, but they changed the rating for this housing type to only require one. However, just from a safety standpoint, we would like to have two, and we would also like for the top unit to have access to the open space.
Okay. Thank you. We'll see if there's any public comment on this item. Again, we're on item number 12 for 621 to 23 Alvarado Street. Saying no public comment, close the public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing that while may not be obligated to provide this, it does certainly improve the safety of the structure and also provide direct access to usable open space in the required rear yard, which is better meeting the intent of the code for rear yard and access to open space.
Thanks, Mr. Sanchez. And I have one other question. The proof of the notice on the site, you had mentioned we submit that here. We had provided that to our planner, Todd Kennedy. Is that good enough?
That is perfect, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Moving to item number 13, case number 2015-000889 VAR, 1495 25th Avenue, rear yard variance sought.
Project sponsor.
You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is Henry Fleshman. I'm here representing Mark Denton, the property owner. We are applying for two variances, actually. One for primary mode of primary access down to the landscape for a balcony and a staircase that protrudes into the 25% or 75%, the 25% open space requirement. The house is currently built out right now to the 75% open space. And then for a trellis that would provide screening and greening for the neighboring property along the north and the west wall. Access to the landscape as currently within the existing building, there is no direct access. This is the first floor, second floor, and third floor. The first floor currently has access through the garage and then out into the landscape. The second floor, which is where we'd be building the balcony, has access currently out the front entrance and then out to the street around the sidewalk and through the gate. There is currently access to the landscape from the garage or through the garage as well, but the staircase is very narrow and very steep. And the tread sizes are very narrow as well, so it's very dangerous, especially for my client, to use those as is. And then third story has its open space on the roof deck, but would also use the landscape through the front entrance. So what we are proposing is to create a balcony that would come down. Let me just take it to the elevations. This is the existing and proposed. So you can see the balcony and the staircase right now are just a small part of this project. The landscape is the main part of this project. Creating that balcony and staircase would create a much safer access and more direct route to the landscape, which would mean it would be much more used and become more of a benefit to the neighborhood rather than right now what it is an empty lot or an empty space with concrete. We'd be tearing out that concrete, creating pervious space ground, as well as planting trees and shrubs, which would on both sides of the fence and provide green space for the neighborhood. It would also create a much safer way to enter the landscape for my client, and the screening would be used primarily, like I said before, for privacy and greening, which would also be more of a benefit. The trellis we're proposing is 13 and a half feet tall, and I believe Mark, my client, would like to say a couple words about how it would help.
Thank you.
Thank you for this opportunity to address you. The existing staircase, which goes through the garage and provides me access to the rear yard, would be treacherous for anyone. It's steep, it's narrow, the treads are shallow, but it's especially so for me. I had polio as a kid, I walk with a cane, I also require braces, and a new staircase is the safe solution for me to be able to access the backyard and also to have a second means of exiting the building if it were required. One other reason for the new staircase is my dog. If he needs to go for a walk and I don't have time to suit up with braces, with two layers of special socks, and lace up my shoes, but instead take him for his walk in a slip-on shoe, it significantly increases my risk of falling. Indeed, I already have. The new staircase will enable me to simply let Tuffy out without putting myself at risk. And so I urge you to grant these variances and to do so as quickly as your policies permit. Just last night, walking Tuffy at 3:30 a.m., I stumbled, and so there's a significant need for safety now. Thank you.
Thank you. And so the fence is about 13 and a half, or the trellis is 13 and a half feet tall. Have you had discussions with that adjacent property to the north? You have, correct?
Yeah, we have talked with...
1491,
yeah, with Matthew.
And they're okay with the project.
We have not heard any objections from him. He says he understands the need for it. And actually, I think the greater height he would in some ways prefer. It makes him feel safer. But I don't want to speak for Matthew. That's just what...
Well, certainly this is a public hearing, right. So...
That's just what, the opportunity. You know,
okay.
Has been the discussion out on the sidewalk.
Okay.
So...
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 13 for 1495 25th Avenue. Seeing no public comment, close public hearing, be inclined to grant the requested variance. Noting does provide increased and safer access for the property owner to access the usable open space in the rear yard. And would note that the building permit, I think you have the building permit, needs to be submitted for neighborhood notification.
Yes.
Staff has informed you of that.
It has been submitted last week.
Excellent. Thank you.
Moving to item number 14, case number 2014-001627 VAR, 283 10th Avenue. Usable open space and front setback variances sought. 5 minutes, sir.
Okay. I'm Malcolm Davis. I'm here with my client, Jen Fettner. And the variance that we're seeking is a variance just in the shape of the usable open space for the second unit. We currently there's a lower unit that accesses the rear yard. We're wanting to do a rear addition so the owner and her three kids can use the back garden better. And so the second unit, what we're proposing in the second unit is to use the front area as its open space. We actually can give them more than 100 square feet. We can give them 115 square feet. It's just not in the proper configuration. And so our rationale is that the house, it's an existing potential historic resource. We can't really do a lot of changes to the front. So we can't really do anything to change the shape of that front yard. And that's the reason for our request.
Thank you. And is there currently a tenant in that lower unit?
No, they're planning to start the renovation, so there's no one living in there right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 14 for 283 10th Avenue. Seeing none, no public comment. I would note that they are providing the required amount of usable open space, but just not in the shape that is required under the code. And it is also facing the front yard. I know that there'll be kind of screening for this, but it is a desirable open space that's being provided. So with that, be inclined to grant the requested variance, and we can move on to the last item.
Last item, case item number 15, case number 2015-001604 VAR, 2127 Broderick Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. This is a property that's got a pretty interesting history. It was a boarding home in dilapidated state back in the 80s. Variance was gained at the time to turn it into a two-unit home that expired. The entire backyard at that time was filled with a garage, and there was sort of a low roof over that garage. In the late 90s, the previous owner removed the garages in the rear yard, brought them into the body of the now single family home. And so there is no direct connection to the living space from the main level to the rear yard level in the back. Currently there's a small deck off of the mudroom / breakfast room. And historically, that deck has been in that location. And in speaking with the neighbors and our client, our goal is to provide the smallest useful deck possible adjacent to the kitchen level through the breakfast room, which necessitates intruding into the 25% rear yard about 5 or 6 feet. I did look at what I believe is a code-complying option, which looks like this. Which does a couple of things. It's obviously much bigger because the access from our only access point, which is the breakfast room, if the deck is pulled back at that point, it's more or less a corridor to the main part of the deck, which would be right in front of the dining room, the formal dining room. That also brings living space and mass to the Washington Street property line, which in a way creates a sense of exposure as well as intrusion into the streetscape and the sidewalk. So, in summary, our goal is to make the smallest outdoor space as accessible possible and keep that space in the area that it was originally or has been historically been placed.
Thank you. And have you had any comments from the adjacent neighbor to the south about the project?
We've met with them in person. They had no concerns. Okay. This obviously is out for 311 also, which is wrapping up. So they're under construction right now as well.
Okay.
But we met with them before that.
All right. Thank you. So I think staff maybe had shared that I had some concerns about why a code-complying alternative could not be provided. I appreciate the comments that you have here, and I'd be inclined to support the variance, and you know, also noting, and for your benefit and for the project sponsors, the owner's benefit, that the standard condition is that any future expansion, even within the buildable area, will be reviewed. And so that's something that we would, I think, take into consideration if they did want to come back at some point in the future and expand within the buildable area. Would have some, especially where that dining room is, it would have some concerns about that. But, you know, I do agree that this does provide a kind of minimum usable open space that's directly accessible from the main living level, which is something we typically support. So with that, I'm inclined to grant the requested variance, and that is the final item, seeing that there is no general public comment here. Unless Mr. English has something to add, I think that is all. We can adjourn, and we'll reconvene on July 22nd. Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.